Dirk Ahurst, though, has been bugging me to call in the Blue Jays talk for the better part of the last week, and why he can't get through, and I won't put him on the air and all that stuff. So the phone lines are open, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance 1-888-666-0590. Dirk at Rogers Center, you're our first caller. Go ahead.
Gosh, I don't even know what to ask you now. I'm so shocked that I'm here. It's such an honor and a pleasure to be here with you, Mike. You know what? I want to ask you, though. I said I was ready to hit the panic button.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh, no, never. I'll never panic.
No.
You were never. And I'm serious. I was starting.
Here's the question. And this is the question that I ask the callers who, I mean, it's there have been a few callers who have asked me for permission to panic. Like I can grant that. But let's say I was to say, okay, time to panic. Then what?
Well, then you have this amazing power. And when you see mobs in the streets with pitchforks and torches, you know that
yeah,
was
that,
your
that
doing.
Yeah,
that you would get arrested for inciting.
But what happens when you panic? Like, if it was time to push the panic button, follows from
that? I know
that?
What happens.
Stupid stuff happens.
My Twitter feed explodes with insanity and hatred. As I'm sure yours does.
But, I mean, we've seen general managers trying to save their jobs make panic moves. We've seen managers trying to save their jobs make panic moves. Nothing good ever comes from those things.
Can I ask you, do you think that John Gibbons made panic moves so far?
No,
April?
Because John Gibbons, I think, is secure in his employ. He knows that Alex Anthopoulos is an even-keel guy and isn't going to jump off the proverbial cliff and go nuts and start trading people and releasing, you know, dealing Jose Bautista or Edwin or whatever. And John Gibbons understands that he, you know, I'm sure every time he talks to Alex, Alex says, I know this is not your fault. You keep doing what you're doing. So, no, I mean, I haven't disagreed with a single tactical move, I think, that Gibby's made all year.
I think that a lot of that comes down to the record. People look at the record and they start to evaluate everything that's happened retroactively through a bad record.
Right.
And suddenly he was a terrible hire. He never should have been here. All his moves are terrible, and they want him gone.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. But I don't think he's managing in panic, and I certainly don't think the waiver moves are a panic from Alex Anthopoulos at all. I think the Blue Jays are doing the right thing, and they got a big, big win tonight against the Red Sox. We're going to keep Dirk around for one call, just so you can feel part of the Blue Jays talk experience.
Thank you.
And we're going to start with Nathan in Regina, Saskatchewan, listening on AM 1190. Nathan, welcome to the Blue Jays talk.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Just want to
say
great
hi to
for
Dirk.
The Jays tonight. Good to see the offense come out. I really think that they're gonna start rolling. I mean, we're starting to see more hits here in the last few games, and I hope that just continues into the next game because they may need it. First thing I want to touch on, I guess, or the main thing is, and I guess what you guys are talking about, the whole tactical thing. Now, how much sense does it actually make to put Kawasaki in for Bonifacio, given that Bonifacio, I mean, he had a nice defensive game. He's struggling at the bat, that's a given. But it was the timing right to maybe bring him in? I know they did it for defense, but it's not like we're talking about John McDonald here, a lifetime utility guy in the major leagues. We're talking about a guy that essentially was in AAA, you know, just no more than a month ago. And to put that kind of pressure on him, do you think that's the right situation for him?
First, let me address your notion that Bonifacio had a good defensive game up to that point. I'm not sure if you're aware, Nathan, and I don't mean this to be insulting. Bonifacio did not have a single ball hit to him all night. Not one.
I'm more speaking to the double play he rolled. I mean,
Right. Brett Laurie made a fantastic play, and Bonifacio turned a double play. That was the only time he touched the ball all night. So he certainly didn't have a good defensive game. But here's my thinking. Look, you have a lead in the seventh inning. It's a two-run lead. Bonifacio was the last batter of the sixth. So if you hold that lead, that spot may not even come up again. You get better at short, and you get better at second. Why on earth would you not do that?
And another important thing there is that I know Jose Reyes is much lauded for his ability to field, but honestly, Munenori Kawasaki has a better fielding percentage and better metrics defensively.
Ooh, thank you for the second part, because the first part makes me cringe.
It's true. He is a better fielder. And
no, I mean just fielding percentage. I hate fielding percentage.
I'm very sorry to offend you, Mike.
You have.
And the caller. I'm sorry if you're offended as well. But the truth of the matter is that he is a good defensive upgrade, and that usually he works out there. And I understand your concern that he is a triple player, a triple play guy, but he won gold gloves in Japan.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the biggest part of his game, because obviously he's not a power hitter or a hit for average guy. He is a situational guy for defense and move runners along at the expense of laying a bunt down or spraying the ball to the opposite field.
Absolutely true. Nathan, there was no reason not to take him out. And you know what's funny is that Colby Rasmus was not put in for defense Sunday against the Yankees in the seventh inning, and people were going nuts about that. This is a clear defensive upgrade at two spots for the Blue Jays.
And to be perfectly honest, I think that error at second base that resulted in that breakdown
was more Meisser,
was
don't
as
you?
Much Meisser's towards as it was Munenori Kawasaki. But unfortunately, he gets that one hung on his
they
neck.
They weren't going to get the out, though, even if Asturias makes that. He's got to come off the bag to catch that ball.
Yes.
Not to drag this one out, but and I guess Dirk, having you on the line, this is a good question to ask maybe too. In a situation where they bring Aaron Loop in, are we in more of an – I was just kind of thinking the whole time, you know, Cecil's been hot. He's throwing it well. He knows the Boston lineup. He's a guy who's started, so it's not like he can't bang out a couple of innings for us. And the way the Blue Jays have been losing, would that be – like that's a situation I would have loved to have seen Cecil come in, burn a couple innings, shut down the Red Sox, and hopefully get to the ninth.
Before Dirk answers this, let me just say, if that double play is turned,
yes,
yeah,
two innings
exactly.
of one hit, one run ball for Loop, right?
And, so. And really, that is, and I understand your point, and I agree with you that Cecil is he's the veteran guy out of the pen. Technically, he does have a lot more innings in the big leagues than Loop does.
Yeah.
But he is a strikeout guy, and he is a fly ball pitcher compared to Aaron Loop, who is very, very good at inducing the ground ball. So he is an individual you would want in a jam situation where you're looking for a double play. And when you have the heart of the order up who can lift the long ball, you know, it just – On paper, I understand the matchup, the technical matchup there. Unfortunately, it's one of those things where on paper, this is what's supposed to happen, and then in real life, the absolute opposite happens. Johnny Gomes homers. It looks horrible. But you'll have that in baseball. Again, it's a game of cruel math where averages are supposed to yield results until you watch them not yield. It frustrates you. But you do have a point there. I could see Brett Cecil coming in and doing an adequate job. Loop is going to have to figure out how to pitch in those situations, though. The Blue Jays are really going to rely on him, and he's got to come up. And fortunately, he was able to hold on to it. Unfortunately, he didn't get a great defensive play made behind him.
He did a good job today. Thank you for the call, Nathan. Appreciate it. He did a very good job today. And we talked about this at the time, Loop coming in to start the sixth inning against Mike Napoli. You'd rather have Brandon Morrow in that situation, rather not have Brett Cecil in that situation.
Yes. Yeah, I would much rather have Brandon Morrow in that situation. He's a strikeout guy, but again, you know, you have to look at the body of work he put forth to start the game.
Yeah.
He was all over the place.
And
he,
like you said, Napoli had that 10-pitch at-bat against him as well.
He's seen a lot of pitches from him. You know, it's a tough call. It could have went either way. And unfortunately, the fan always gets to look at things retroactively and say, he should have did the other thing. That fool, that idiot, you know.
But even if it's a choice between Loop or Cecil to face Napoli, I like Loop.
Me too. Ground ball.
Right. Ground ball. We only have another 7 or 8 minutes to take calls. We're going to keep you. You want to stay?
Sure.
Because you've been trying so hard to call into the show.
I'm finally getting my fix.
Jason in Thornhill. Jason listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Welcome to the Blue Jays talk.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Say hi to Dirk.
Hi, Dirk. I was just going to say, for a first-time caller, it's great to have you both on the line.
Look at that. There, you got your spring training play-by-play crew right here.
Yes.
Perfect. So I just want to start off with, Eddie might have a sore back after having 24 guys on there tonight, but great win by the Blue Jays. And everybody talks about the 90 wins, or the magic 90, the 596 we're going to need to finish the season. Do we really think the Red Sox and the Yankees are going to keep this pace? I certainly don't.
There is zero chance the Red Sox are going to keep this pace up.
Yes,
they're 18-8.
Yeah.
Exactly. So if not, is that magic 90 wins still real? I mean, can we look at 89, 88 wins? And if so, you know, that changes the math a little bit.
Yeah, but why do we even have to worry about that? Why can't we just kind of play the season?
Well, you know, absolutely.
Instead of having to worry, people are worried about, oh, now if they're going to win 89 games, or if they're going to win 90 games, they got to go 80 and whatever left in the season. There's 135 games, so they got to go 80 and 55.
Well, I think the reason that you shoot for that number is because if you...
Yeah, but if you worry about this whole 80... Yeah. But then what happens if they go 10 and 5? Then they only have to go 70 and 50, and that's not that daunting.
Yeah, it's weird how numbers continue to update
right.
when you only have a finite amount.
But every chunk that you suck up, you know, makes it less daunting if you're playing well, is my point. And to get caught up in
it. All right.
It,
while you're monologuing, I'm actually going to answer the question.
Right.
How's that sound? Okay.
You'll be incorrect.
Of course, because it's your show.
That's
and never anybody else but you is always incorrect. I get that. But
fair enough.
I will say this.
That's quite a reasonable point.
I was going to say that you shoot for that number because if you reach that number, you're not at the mercy of the league. That's a number that if you can achieve it, you are always in the commanding position. If you don't achieve it, you're always at the whim of whoever else could be hotter than you.
Right, but that's not the direction that I'm going here. I agree with you. You got to win as many games as you possibly can, right? But if you look at, oh, they got to be 80 and 55 now to finish the season or they're screwed, then that looks like an impossibility. But if you step back from it and realize that pretty much every winning team has a 10 and 17 in them somewhere, and that the reason that good teams are good is because they can run off those, I don't know, 20 and 8s or
right.
18 and 3s or something
sure.
like that, and that kind of balances out those numbers. So yeah, the Blue Jays in 1993 when they won the World Series had a 2 and 12, which means for the rest of the season they were whatever, 91 and not a whole lot.
Right.
So these things happen. It's just weird that it happened in April.
And it gives us analysts something to forecast gloom and doom and whip you into a panic. That's...
Right, which I prefer not to do. This is what I don't like. Let's go to you. You thought I was monologuing. Dave is in Vancouver listening on sportsnet590.ca. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Mike, enjoying the broadcast as usual. Dirk, enjoying your cover commentary on... And then the question I would ask, you know, could this be the Houston team of a number of years ago that was 15 and 30 or that 1914 team? Well, what this team has to do, you know, winning a game like today is great. They can win that style of game, you know, the home runs and, you know, the big comeback, et cetera. But I want to see this team starting to win small ball games, you know, the 1-0, the 2-1 games. And then I'll be a little bit more convinced. But, you know, you're speaking about being kind of upset or offended. I was offended tonight hearing Buck Martinez castigating the manager and the coaches when he implied that Aaron Sebia and Delbar hadn't got their signs together. He says, this is a month into the season. These guys still haven't got their act together. I thought that was very mean, to put it mildly. He might have been right, but I thought it was kind of mean. I wanted to get your opinion on that.
This is the wrong place to go if you want us to criticize other broadcasters. Not
well,
what
no,
we do
about
here,
the fact,
Dave.
I mean, the question is that is it a problem? I mean,
well, I mean, we got Dirk Hayhurst.
Was there a problem with the signs, or what was going on there? I don't know. You know,
we got Dirk Hayhurst here. He's the perfect guy to ask this question. Dirk, even after you come into a game with a guy that has caught you all year, it's still possible to get crossed up, is it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, you know why, and this is good to know. The signs change a lot depending on the situation and depending on the team. And this team does have Brian Butterfield on it, who was recently
yep.
with this club. And if he knows how anything works, it would be how the Blue Jays would do their thing. So,
and this was with a runner on second.
And it was with a runner on second. So there is a chance to get things crossed up. And, you know, Buck is critical of catchers. And so he's always going to have a criticism there for those guys, and that's really what it makes Buck great at his job, is he sees things that other people don't because of his time spent around the game. So I don't think it's mean or unwarranted. I think that analysts are supposed to criticize based on personal experience, and I would expect it. I would expect it if I was a player, and I expect it as a fellow broadcaster. But to answer the question about what games you like to see won, well, I'll just tell you this. I like to see all of them won. I don't care if you do it 1-0 with a bunt, or if you do it 27-9 with 42 decks worth of home runs involved, as long as you get it done. Variety is a wonderful form of offense.
Yes.
But you're
going
to have to win those type of games.
Well, that's it's not that they have an inability. I mean, now they won 9-7, Dave, and so they've played 18 games that have been decided by two runs or less this year, and they're 7-11.
And again, you know, you talk about small ball games. There is really no precedent to try and bunt a lot. It doesn't actually help you.
No, it doesn't.
As much as you think.
In fact, it hurts. And the Jays are, again, 7-11 in games decided by two runs or fewer. So it's not like they're losing all of them. Dirk, thank you. Welcome edition. We're going to have you in here for the broadcast all week long, and we will enjoy it thoroughly, just as the people watching on TV will enjoy. Jack, we are going to hear from the skipper when we continue. Blue Jays beat the Red Sox. 9-7. It's the Honda Postgame Show on the Home Hardware Blue Jays Radio Network. Welcome back to Rogers Center. The Blue Jays beat the Boston Red Sox 9-7, the final score, when they don't fold after blowing the lead late on an error. Great job by the Blue Jays, and sort of the antithesis of most of the games we've seen in this April, that they finish 10-17. Before we wrap things up, let's give a listen to the manager. Here's what John Gibbons had to say about tonight's win.
Edwin Encarnacion, go.
Huge day. You know, he's been on some kind of roll lately. You know, early on, he was in a lot of, you know, balls on the money and had nothing to show for him. Now he's found that groove. A lot of guys are starting to get it, looks like, but, you know, I mean, the guys showed a lot of guts today, man, a lot of heart. You know, it would have been, you know, when they took the lead there, kind of the way things have been going. But they hung tough, man.
Is it maybe better in some ways that you faced adversity within this game and then overcame it rather than, you know, here we go again?
No, because we've been facing a lot of adversity, to tell you the truth. Just a big win, you know, just a good win. Something we needed, you know. We play good baseball, you know. Then, you know, the error, you know, came along, and then, you know, the middle of the lineup's pretty tough, you know, with Pedroia and then Ortiz and Napoli. You know, they're pretty good. So, I mean, they leave you no breathing room there, you know. But it was a big win.
John, you won the game, which is obviously positive, but to have a lead and then. Morrow struggled in the fourth or fifth inning, and then you have that key error. Some of the issues that have cropped up still happened in this game.
But we won the game.
I know. But can you – is that still disconcerting?
Yeah, Morrow was good, you know. She was cutting it loose today. You know, we built that lead and gave up those two home runs. But, you know, and, you know, that fifth – you know, that's why we didn't send him back out. That fifth inning was a grind for him, actually the fourth and the fifth. You know, but he got that big strikeout on Ortiz when he had to have it, you know, and then the big pickoff. So I thought he threw good. I mean, he's a guy, he throws a lot of pitches. That's kind of his M.O., you know. But, you know, I thought he did a great job and did what he's supposed to do.
Yeah, he certainly did. Got in trouble in the fourth and fifth, but managed to work out of it. One because of a great play on a double play ball by Brett Laurie, and another because of a huge strikeout of David Ortiz. And then Morrow picked Jacoby Ellsbury off of second to end that top of the fifth inning. And in the bottom of the frame, Edwin Encarnacion put one in the 500 level here at Rogers Center. His first of two-run homers tonight as he moves into a tie for the American League lead with 9 home runs. Same as Chris Davis of the Baltimore Orioles. One more than J.Pierre Encibia. The Blue Jays beat the Boston Red Sox 9-7. And here's a little something that might not mean anything, but might mean something. But then again, maybe not, just so you know that it's happened. The Blue Jays were 10-17 in the month of April, and they've had 3 poor Aprils in the last 10 years. In all of them, all those seasons, they've been over 500 in the month of May. And the last time they went 10-17 in April, exactly 10 years ago, 2003, the Blue Jays went out and went 21-8 in May. So just because you have a lousy first month certainly doesn't put a stamp on the entire season for you. And the Blue Jays end it strong with a 9-7 win over the Boston Red Sox. This series continues tomorrow night, and we're on at 7 o'clock Eastern for a 7:07 first pitch. Mark Burley against Clay Buchholz. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership with the Blue Jays Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Dirk Hayers, Tom Young, Gord Brunt, Derek Brandeo, I'm Mike Wilner. Good night.